102 bid for elimination. Yet. Almost.
220, take them. 209.
Yeah, got them.
139.
140.
Hey, three. 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 Up
now.
Yeah. South Dorset Air Force 142. Hey
everybody, welcome back to Cigarette Burns. Today's a little bit of a different episode. If you listened to the last episode on Amadeus, we mentioned that our next recording would be this Stockwatch episode, because Jed and I have been having a big conversation recently about all these new stars that are coming out, because there seems to be a really interesting crop of new performers. I don't know if that's just because COVID and we're stuck and we're just watching our TV constantly. That could be it. But also, we started talking about people that are in our stable that we're like earmarked as favorites, and people that kind of busted out that we used to really like and their careers kind of never panned out. And we thought, that could bore a bunch of people. We should record it. So that's what we're doing today, is our Stockwatch episode. Jed, I wanted to start out by asking you, when you were a kid and you were watching movies, do you remember the first person you thought, because as kids we pick out, this is my favorite color, this is my favorite food, this is my favorite TV show, my favorite shirt. Who was your first favorite actor, actress, whatever?
My first favorite actor, actress was Michael J. Fox, by far.
Not surprising.
Very first one, Teen Wolf, remember it vividly, remember watching that, and you know, that was a good investment. I mean, that investment has paid off, and then some, okay?
Yes, and if a gun to my head, which we really shouldn't be threatening each other with violence with respect to these decisions, I would have guessed that for you.
I figured. For you,
is it a big secret? Is it a big secret?
I'm going to say it was definitely Thomas Ian Nicholas. I think that is really who. No, obviously Kevin Costner was the guy.
Yeah, it was a toss up between KC and John Doe, and I went with KC. Yeah, he was the first one I can remember. And I will say this though, I'm getting older, so I can't really remember timelines perfectly. It could have been Harrison Ford, but I was really doing Indiana Jones and Robin Hood and Field of Dreams kind of at the same time and just watching them a bunch. So KC, in my heart of hearts, was definitely my favorite, but I was also huge into Harrison Ford. Both of those at the time, I would have had to have bought high, but I still think probably paid off in the long run. I'm not real sure I could have said, look at these rocks I shined into diamonds, but
well, that John was... Doe Great Balls of Fire pick, though, that was low. That one you could have gotten low.
Yep, that was penny stock. She doubled. She got to 2 cents.
And then she dove.
Yeah, money ahead for a bit after Pure Country, and then it just nowhere. Nobody's trading on it anymore.
No, not great.
I would say, though, when we started talking about doing this episode, we kind of kept bringing up one name over and over again, and it was the Garrett Hedlund episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to get out ahead of any potential bad vibes you guys might get from us. Absolutely nothing in this episode is meant to come off as negative towards these performers. Careers don't pan out for a number of reasons. You're also going to hear some names, particularly in the next category, which is going to be people that we've bought stock in that I don't care what their career's doing, I'm not selling it. Like, I'm holding on forever. And you're going to hear names where you're going to think, that's a super famous person. And you're going to be right. It's just going to be like, I think there's still going to be more. You know, you're going to hear Academy Award nominated names. Mm-hmm. Okay. So at no point are we trying to say that these people have underachieved. it's less about talent in this thing than it is about getting a break, getting luck, getting picking the right, you know, picture.
And this is all who we want to see in more things. We thought would be in more things. With people absolutely. We really loved. We really love watching them. And when you see them pop out, you know, pop up these days, it's like, oh, yeah.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
And, you know, there's going to be a ton of reasons. Some people have bad choices in movies. Some people were destroyed. Their careers were destroyed by monsters in Hollywood. And that's why, you know, nothing happened. And some people just sort of gave it up or are...
Yeah, decided like, no, to sell real estate.
Yeah, you know, it's just want to hate to beat a dead horse. We are not trying to neg on these people, but we are going to mention some people and be like, man, it's not happening. And boy, I'm not sure if it's going to.
Yeah.
So do you want to start us out on our bus category?
You know, so these are stocks that did not do well. Okay. This stock, I had to take a loss on these.
Sure.
The first one here is a gentleman who caught my eye back in 1988. I was just a wee little Jed, but he was on a...
Were you at the batting cages? Is this when you were just...
That's a separate story. That's a separate time and place. Not necessary to get into that here. I do have incredible hand-eye coordination. That is for sure.
Oh, so did baby Jed.
So... I want to discuss, it was a Canadian TV series. I don't know how it was, where it was broadcast here. It was called My Secret Identity. Okay, it starred Jerry O'Connell. He played Ultraman. He had a neighbor, Dr. Jeffcoat. And what would happen, or what happened in the pilot, is Dr. Jeffcoat, scientist doing these experiments, somehow Jerry O'Connell's character got blasted with this stuff, and he could fly. He could fly if he would spray aerosol cans, but... This was 1988 to 1991. During the show's run, the aerosol ozone shit happened. All of a sudden, he could fly without aerosol cans. Nice touch. Didn't realize till years later what they were doing there. Environmentally focused, I appreciate it. Many people know Jerry O'Connell from Stand By Me. He was the pudgy kid who grew up to be a fucking Greek god in movies like Can't Hardly Wait, Tomcats, Buying the Cow.
Trim and Neely.
Jerry Maguire was a big one for him. Here's the thing. Charismatic as anyone. He could be Ryan Reynolds. Could have been, should have been, I would argue, a Ryan Reynolds-like character. He's great. He's got a softer side to him where he can play that. It never worked out for him, though. He never made the film that really put him on the A-list. He was in Sliders forever, low-budget USA show. I enjoyed the first few seasons. Then it got really crazy. I couldn't even follow it. He was on a show. The last time I really saw him in anything was this show called Carpoolers, which was literally about people who were in the carpool going to work, and they would just zoom by all the traffic, and then they would get on with their day, and that was the show. I think it was the lead-in for... The Geico Cavemen became a show for one season where they were actual cavemen living in Atlanta.
I don't think it became a show for one season. I think it became a show for like 3 weeks.
It was on for a couple episodes. Anyway, I don't want to digress too much. That was the last time I saw him. Now I see him a lot because Rachel loves Bravo, and he's on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen a ton because I guess he's a Bravoholic. And now he's on The Talk. He's one of the co-hosts of The Talk.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think it's going to happen for old Jer the way I thought it was going to. That was a buy that missed, but I always thought he had it, man. I really did.
Yeah, I look at him. I think that Ryan Reynolds comp is good. I think, you know, a Jason Bateman comp is good. Where he could fit the sarcastic, attractive, but not intimidatingly so sort of best friendy character, which I think we're going to run into that with a lot of the people we talk about where... When you're talking about, you know, second, third, fourth on the call sheet material, I think it gets easy to be lost. And it's like, well, I'm a big name and I'm in it, but like that wasn't my show. That wasn't my thing. Unfortunately for O'Connell, once he goes back to things like Carpoolers, that's going to be on him. But
yeah,
that's a great pick, man. That's a great pick.
What about you?
I have so many, and it's tough. I'm going to start with one. I first saw him in A Knight's Tale, and... I just immediately was like, that guy should be James Bond. and he's not in it very much. And this is James Purefoy.
Okay.
And he plays the Prince Edward, I think, in this made-up world. And he just has a couple of really great scenes. And he has this attitude and this bravado that is not something that can be taught. You know, it's that it factor that everybody talks about. Nobody knows what the hell it is, but when you see it, it's there. And he has it, and he's got this accent, this British accent that doesn't sound like other British accents. And I saw him again in Rome where he played Mark Antony, and he had this great antagonistic, super arrogant, but for some reason you never quite hated him. And boy, is that hard to do.
He fills every scene he's in with energy. I don't care what it is. You get energized when you see him on screen. And I love that about him.
And he was given a great role in an underseen show called The Following on Fox. He played a cult leader. And for anybody out there that likes these sort of culty, you know, the murder has a lot to do with the show. It's kind of horror. It's kind of thriller. It's kind of a mental brain fuck of a show. As much as it could push the boundaries on Fox television, it does. And him being a cult leader absolutely tracked. I was like, yes, that's a dude who absolutely could get thousands and thousands of people to follow him. So James Purefoy, who's next up for you?
Next up for me is Shane McDermott, okay? Starred in Airborne, right, as Mitchell Goosen, and was on the Babysitter's Club TV series. I did not watch the TV series, but I knew that he was on it. Airborne was where I saw him. As we know, I'm big into the blading, had the blade crew, was real big into that back. So perfect age for this.
It's well documented in this podcast.
And I just want to show you how good of a judge of talent I am. So in Airborne, he was the lead, but some of his co-stars were Jacob Vargas, who has gone on to have a very good career, was in the movie Get Shorty, was in many things. Jack Black, I think he's had a decent career, and Seth Green. And out of all of those guys, I was like Shane McDermott, who decided shortly after Airborne and doing a couple more things, he was going to leave Hollywood with no desire to return. And last I heard, he sells real estate in Galveston, Texas.
So you were the guy that was like Johnny Manziel.
Yes.
That's the one.
That's the one. You can beat Alabama. I'll take you.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yep. That's all I need to know.
You know, they don't all pan out, but he had something that I envied at the age, which was the ability to rollerblade and the actress that he co-starred with, very attractive woman. Yep. So, you know, at that age, Jed was just looking at that.
It's kind of all you need.
That's all you need.
He was able to be next to somebody who was hired to be there with him. And
I didn't put all that together. Good. I escaped. That's my reality here. What about you, though?
So my next one is somebody who's near and dear to both our hearts. And you have given me a theory that I cannot get out of my head, which is you told me this dude, I think, would be a perfect Tony Stark. And ever since you said that, I cannot get it out of my head. But I first saw him in Sex Drive, where he's incredible. He then came in the last, I think, two seasons of The Office. He's done things. Like, he's been in things. And a lot of these people have been in or still are in things. But this is Clark Duke.
Yeah, it is.
And, man, he just seems to have a lot of things going his way. And I can't help but think he got Jonah Hill'd. Jonah just took a bunch of parts, and then that kind of character has fallen slightly out of vogue a little bit. I mean, he is
even
so
for
funny.
Jonah.
Yeah. He is so funny in Hot Tub Time Machine. It's just to have him stand there as by far the youngest person in the room, by far the least famous person in the room. But when you're watching that movie, which is just an unbelievably hilarious movie, I want him to talk more. You're going like,
oh, yeah.
Calm down, Cordry. Calm down, Cusack. I want to hear this kid. It's not to say that it won't happen, but I feel like the window for that sort of thing has passed.
Yeah.
If he was going to fill in a hole that a Jack Black has left or aged out of, I just don't see it happening. I hope it does, but I have to. And this is a borderline call for me because it's tough to make these calls on people that are still in their 30s.
I know what you mean. And with what he could do in I'm Dying Up Here, where he could show other edge.
Yep.
It's such a tough call. I know what you're saying, though. It just doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
You read my mind. That's just where I was going with this. Is the thing that had me hanging on was I'm Dying Up There, which, guys, if you haven't seen that, if you're interested at all in the history of stand-up comedy, this is not a documentary. They don't play real people, but it is all very much based on the LA comedy scene in the 70s. And he gets to stretch his legs from a dramatic standpoint. Yes, he's funny. Yes, he does funny things, but it is such a fleshed out character. And the whole show is that way. It's really, really good. And it got canceled, and that sucks. I believe it was just 2 seasons. But check that one out. Clark Duke. So, you know, a lot of these, like I said, you're going to hear people that you've never heard of. Shane McDermott, or Sean McDermott, my bad.
Shane McDermott. Yeah.
See? That's what I mean.
If you're in Galveston, Texas, and you need real estate, look him up.
Check him out. Okay, man. Who's next?
All right. I'll go a little quicker here. I guess I got so many, but I just want to talk about a few and hit on them. Not to take the pod into a somber area, but I got to talk about my boy Johnny Brandis, okay?
Yeah.
Neverending Story 2, Ladybugs, Sidekicks, It, the TV movie,
Sequest. I bought all of it.
I bought it all. I loved it.
Yep, me too.
Charismatic, could play emotional, comedic, everything. I thought he was the man. It just didn't work out. You know, he tried to branch out. I had read that basically Heart's War was what he was banking on. He thought that was going to be where he could show that he has some chops and he could get past the teen idol kind of thing. Unfortunately, all his scenes were cut. The theory is that those scenes being cut sent him down a dark spiral of depression and drinking, which ultimately led to him to commit suicide on November 12, 2003. It's unfortunate. He was so talented. We lost him at a very young age. He would have been great. I had that stock. I don't consider that a stock that just dived, because I really think had he been able to get past those demons, he was too talented to not make it.
Yeah.
So yep. Not to bring us to a down point, but just had to mention him. Another one for me, Christine Taylor has no business not being a big star today. I honestly, and you may not agree with this, why couldn't she have Drew Barrymore's career that she had?
Absolutely.
Like, give me a break.
You'll get no argument from me on Christine Taylor, because, hey, dude, I recognize, like, this is the one person from this show has it. Without question, has it.
Yep.
You know, it was like watching Nickelodeon back in the day, and when Amanda Bynes, who would be on this list, I didn't put her on my list, but she certainly would be one. I bought stock in her heavily, where when you watched a show that's primarily based around children, but she was the standout. Christine Taylor was the same thing. And she progressed. Yes. She's been good in everything she's done as an adult as well. It's not as though it was just a teenage thing. But great pick. That's a great pick. And I'm with you. I think she has to be in this category, because I don't know where that's going to sort of turn around. I think you're still going to see her in a lot of stuff, but not in the role she should be in.
Absolutely. Exactly. Perfectly said. Roles she should have. All right. What about you? What are some of your other ones?
Piggybacking on that, and I'm going to do a bunch here in a row. I have Rose Byrne in this category.
Uh-huh.
I feel a lot like I do with Christine Taylor with her, even more so, though, because I remember seeing her for the first time in Troy. Obviously, she's incredible in comedy. Bridesmaids is unbelievable. She's great in Spy. But she's also has this dramatic range, and given those talents, I don't understand how they haven't been able to find a fit for her or a project for her. And with the new crop of the Anya Taylor-Joys and things like that coming up, I feel like she's going to get lost.
Oh, I know. I think she is. Her problem for me is that she's so much better than the material that she chooses. Like, Damages, don't get me wrong. Very good show. She's better than that character and the way they wrote it.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Wicker Park. Make fun of the movie, whatever you want. She's phenomenal in that film, way better than everybody else. And I love Diane Kruger, but her role in that movie was great. Movie just didn't take off. It just wasn't one of those that, you know, Josh Hartnett. It was a Josh Hartnett vehicle, right? And unfortunately, like, he's not a pick of mine, because I don't really see a ton of talent there.
I never bought that.
Seems like
star.
A nice guy, but whatever. Yeah. She just cannot seem to get these roles, to your point, that really showcase what she can do.
Yep. And To that, I also want to add Ray Stevenson.
Yeah.
Another Rome pick, where he was the Punisher, and I think he was a good Punisher. I'm not a comic book person, but I have watched The Punishers, and I thought he was very good in that role. He obviously has gone on to be in Thor. So if you guys are thinking, like, whoa, 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 that dude was in, like, the MCU for a while. Yeah, he was, but, like, a very bit part in that. And he just has – he's another guy who just kind of has presence, and it just – whatever momentum he would ever start kind of retreated a little bit. I think the same thing for Connie Nielsen. You know, when I saw her in Gladiator and The Devil's Advocate, she's also in The Following. Her playing off of James Purifoy was like, why are you guys in television right now? Not the good kind of television. Why are you guys here. And I'd also have to add Sean William Scott and Famke Janssen to that mm-hmm. list as well.
Yep.
Man, the amount of money I put into fake Hollywood stock exchange money into Sean William Scott being, I don't want to say the next Jim Carrey or anything like that, but being the next, you know, Vince Vaughn, Will Ferrell type, like 3, 4, 5 comedy movie run. You know, I'm not looking, he should have been an action star too. Like The Rundown,
he showed
he could do that.
Yep.
He had his comeback chance with Goon. And Goon's a good movie. Goon 2 is not.
Sorry, Jay.
Yeah, sorry, Jay. And Famke, you know, obviously her Rounders celebrity back-to-back roles, absolutely incredible. You can't take your eyes off her. Of course she went on to be Jean Grey in X-Men. So she's had a great career. It just didn't materialize. I'm hoping that it does because she has a presence on screen that is, again, authoritative. I think I've said that a couple times, but I really like that in performance. I think I'm drawn to that when I start, like, throwing people in my stable and saying, hey, this is my team. This is who I want. Are these people that when they come on screen, you're like, okay, who just walked on? Who just came in? And she has that in spades. So, you know, that's, I have a couple more on here. I don't want to spend too much more time on the bus. I'll just say I have one that I want to talk to you in depth about, but the rest of my list is Derek Luke is a huge favorite. That's a pod favorite right there.
Yep.
His run at the beginning, Antoine Fisher, which I don't think is that great of a movie, but man, when I left, I was like, that guy, I mean, walked out, that is my guy. And then Pieces of April is a great little movie that you guys should check out. A family drama. Friday Night Lights, obviously. I mean, you holy from Midland. Shit.
Oh my God.
That movie and TV series has spawned just an absurd amount of both what ifs and like Jesse Plemons, man. Kyle Chandler. What are we talking about? Heard of him? I also have Dan Stevens. I'm calling it early on Dan Stevens.
Really? Calling it early on Dan Stevens. Yeah, that's unfortunate. I can't really argue with it, though, given the way the trajectory has gone. Legion was a good show that kind of just ended. He was very good in it. Showcased a lot of talent. Obviously, The Guest was great with him. Did the Cinderella, or Beauty and the Beast, sorry. I agree with you, though. I see it as just like falling off a fucking cliff.
Yeah, and that's what ends up happening. Like, unless there is a, I would have to say some sort of IP'd franchise for him to get into. I just doesn't seem. I mean, I know he did the Downton Abbey, and I don't know if he's in the new Downton Abbey movie. Maybe that does it, but I'm calling it early there. I'm also, and this one hurts my heart, Teresa Palmer.
Yeah, that's unfortunate,
man. I Am Number 4 is a good movie.
It's a very good movie. It's really, you watch it, it's very enjoyable.
That one was another where you just kind of walk out of the theater like, can't wait to see the next thing she's going to be in.
Yeah.
I think she's really good. And boy, Kristen Stewart has turned into a fantastic actress.
Mm-hmm.
But I could have seen Teresa Palmer every bit, something like Twilight and all those movies.
She may have the problem that Elizabeth Berridge's competition had, which is why Elizabeth Barrett's got the role in Amadeus. I mean,
sure.
She's too good looking.
Yeah, and she's very funny. Like, she's really funny in Take Me Home Tonight.
Oh, my
and
God,
she's,
yeah.
She's continued to work, and it's just one of those, like, I thought, and I think a lot of this has to do, by the way, with almost everything that's getting made on the large scale is getting made not in that $30 to $50 million budget range where we're not having romantic dramas, we're not having really family dramas, we're not having romantic comedies, we're not having buddy films as much anymore. It's IP, big IP with these gigantic casts where it's easy to get lost. Or television shows like elite TV shows that also, again, have gigantic casts where you might get an episode arc, but you're not, it's really hard to get.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the through line. So Teresa Palmer, but here's where I've been heading. Oh, I'll also throw Dan Fogler on there. Love Dan Fogler. Dude won a Tony.
That's a tough one too.
But that's the Jack Black hole that isn't being filled and nobody wants to fill it. You know, yes, he's in Fantastic Beasts and a bit part, whatever, but like they're not making comedies anymore. What are we talking about?
You'll notice they just
don't make comedies. So
before you get to your deep one, I got a few more dives. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Because I got quite a few on the list. Kind of tracked it from when I was younger, and as I got older, you can kind of see the progression here. I want to go over a couple of them. Leon, and yes, on IMDb he is credited as Leon. Cliffhanger, Cool Runnings, Above
Cool Runnings, man. Are you kidding me?
You're telling me he couldn't have been Blade, he couldn't have been Spawn, he couldn't have been a host of other things? Like, he's awesome.
Dude, in the Temptations movie.
Yes. Yes.
David Ruffin, man. He's so good.
I don't know what happened. I don't know why that stock just dived. Yep. I don't know the
He's
story.
Great.
He's great. Richard Grieco. Okay. I didn't watch 21 Jump Street. I did not watch 21 Jump Street. I didn't watch Booker, his spinoff, but I watched If Looks Could Kill, which is a teenager James Bond ripoff where he has a case of mistaken identity where they think he's this special agent, but he's really on a high school trip to Europe. And they give him all these special cars and gadgets. And it's, I believe, Gabriel Anwar is opposite him in that film, if I recall. He's charismatic. It's fucking fun. He's an action star. It's a great movie. He had these shoes where you could stand on the side of a building, and instead of like the pump, it would just activate the suction cups. When I was a kid, 91, it was the shit, okay? So Richard Grieco was on my list. Obviously, that stock dived big time.
When you told me that yesterday, I thought you were fucking with me.
I was not. No, It Looks Could Kill, one of my favorite films growing up. Totally. Totally. I got Ralph Macchio, obviously, Karate Kid, Crossroads, The Outsiders. Really thought, you know,
yep.
Pony Boy was going to stay golden. Didn't happen. Not that he was Pony Boy, but still, you know what I mean?
Yeah. We gave you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
The people know.
See Thomas Howe, that dived too, though, by the way. So that's, he's not on my list. So the last one from my youth that I want to talk about here is Jeanine Turner from Northern Exposure, Cliffhanger.
Yep.
Showed up last I saw her on Friday Night Lights, a TV show, in like four episodes as
JD's mom. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So talented in Northern Exposure. So great. Beautiful. Everything. I'm like, how did she not have a career after this?
Yeah.
And it wasn't like Northern Exposure ran for 13 seasons where she couldn't get out of it to do things. And she was fine in Cliffhanger. Like, she was good. I just, you know, that's frustrating. Some of my adult picks, I'm going to go over them real quick here for you. Alison Lohman. Saw her in Matchstick Men, Drag Me to Hell, and Delirious. This movie she was in with Michael Pitt and Steve Buscemi. Love her. To this day, love Alison Lohman. Don't know what happened. I read somewhere that she decided to teach acting and focus on having a family. Can't fault her for what her decisions are, but I think there's a place for her in Hollywood if she ever wants to come back, but that stock has dove. I picked Michael Pitt. Finding Forrester, I clocked him.
Yep.
Turns out he's fucking insane, and that's probably why the stock has dove a little bit post Boardwalk Empire.
Murder by Numbers and Dreamers.
Yeah, Alden Ehrenreich is another one where his performance in Beautiful Creatures is not good. Hail Caesar, it's amazing. Rules Don't Apply, it's fine. Han Solo, he was not the problem, but I don't know if he's just in Hollywood jail for a few years.
So.
Or what?
It's very funny. It's very funny you missed that. We're probably going to talk about him later here in the next category.
Okay.
Because I've got all the Alden Ehrenreich stock and I'm not selling.
Okay.
I'm not calling him yet because he's got Cocaine Bear is his next project.
Oh, okay. I have not looked the man up recently because
Cocaine Bear, he's got coming out, and I agree with everything you said. Every line he does in Hail Caesar is genius level. Acting.
Would that it were so simple. Would that it were so simple.
It's ridiculous how good he is in that. And I agree with you. He's paying the bill. And this is something we talked about earlier. Sometimes you get somebody who has to pay the bill for a bad movie.
Yeah.
And I think we're probably going to talk about that a lot more here in our next section. Mm-hmm. But he pays the bill for Solo being, at the end of the day, a fine movie.
Fine.
It's not great. No. But it's not the worst new Star Wars movie that's come out in the last 10 years.
That's for sure. No way.
And he's not the problem. He's good. He's fine.
Yeah.
But he's also just got announced he's in a movie called Fair Play with Phoebe Divenor for Bridgerton fans out there.
Mm.
So he's got some stuff coming out, but Elizabeth Banks is doing that Cocaine Bear movie, and he's the star of it. I'm very pumped.
Is Elizabeth Banks directing?
Is, yes.
Okay. I don't have a lot of faith in that. moving right along here. Justin Long.
Yeah.
Sads me to say. I first saw him in Crossroads. The ripped,
didn't we all?
Absolutely,
didn't we all?
Ripped nerd in bed with Britney Spears.
Yep.
Dodgeball. Accepted. I mean, he holds that fucking movie together, and it has no business being as good, but it's only that good because of him. The Breakup, 10 years. Comet, it's a Sam Esmail movie. He's very good in that, underrated performance. And who you can't forget Brandon St. Randy.
Cannot forget Brandon St. I mean, basically, my comp for him is Bronson Pinchot. He's his generation's Bronson Pinchot.
He just never got the TV show. That's too perfect, but he's better. He's better than Bronson Pinchot.
He is. He never got the TV show, but that's who it is.
He got the TV ads. He had that. a couple more here. I got to wrap it up here, but my boy Brian Greenberg from One Tree Hill, Prime, October Road, and How to Make It in America. Just fucking stock just dove. Dude has talent.
Just saw him because it's Christmas now. And so once December hits in my house.
Oh, no.
We start watching Christmas movies. And the way that Christmas movies happen in my house, because Christmas is a very serious... You've been to the house during Christmas.
Oh, yeah. It's big time.
It's no joke. We do not mess around. And what we do for the first, say, 17 days of December is watch a bunch of your made-for-TV, Hallmark-y, Netflix-y, sort of quote-unquote bad Christmas movies. Now, yeah. Some of them are bad but enjoyable. Some of them are bad. And I'm really glad you mentioned your boy Brian Greenberg, because I hadn't thought about him in about a decade. But then we threw on the Lea Michele, Brian Greenberg as a supporting character. Naya Vardalos is in this film.
Mm.
It's called Same Time Next Christmas.
In Greece?
No. It is in Hawaii.
Okay.
And I want you to watch it and get back to me on your thoughts on Brian Greenberg.
It's a stock that dove. What can I say? I did watch it.
I looked at Jess and was like, okay, that dude was in How to Make It in America. He was like, they were trying to make him happen for so long.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's
Rachel would still leave me for him in a second today. So,
well, that's a long list. I mean, let's not
that's
give
a very
him
long
list.
That. It's very
let's...
true there.
Come on.
All right,
now.
The last one I got here, close to me and really sad. I don't like the way this went down for him, and I just don't see it happening. Now he's in the CW verse, and it's just going to get sucked in there. Brandon Routh.
Yep.
Superman Returns, and then Zack and Miri. He got blamed. Talk about getting blamed for a movie that doesn't do well when you were the best thing by far in the entire film. He got blamed for Superman Returns. He was excellent in the movie.
Yep.
He was the best Clark Kent since Reeve, okay? That's just simple, right?
Yep. Totally agree.
And not even getting a chance to really do anything else. It's just...
No.
He is a leading man. He's funny. He's charismatic. He could be an action star. He showed that. He's likable. I don't fucking get it, man.
Like, he was good in Chuck. Like, his limited little run in Chuck. It was very funny to watch an entire studio make an unknown guy pay the bill when he was the least famous person by, I don't know, every measurable standard on that movie. Mm-hmm. Wasn't Kevin Spacey's fault. Wasn't Kate Bosworth's fault. And by the way, it wasn't.
No.
It was the direction was awful and the script was pretty pedantic. But it was just like, this is Superman. I don't know what else you're looking for.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a good call. Before we move on to the next section, this is going to hurt.
Okay.
And
I know what you're about to say. I know what you're about to say.
And I have to call it on Anna Kendrick.
Yep, I knew this was coming. I knew this shit was coming. I mean, you're wrong,
but
that's fine. I can see where you'd get there.
Honestly, I hope I am wrong because she's incredible and Up in the Air.
Yes.
She's great and Pitch Perfect. I'm sorry. I'm here to tell you I will stand up for Mike and Dave Need a Wedding Date.
Me too.
Forever. That's a fun... And everybody's funny in that.
Yeah.
Everybody. And she's great. But it has been, as we are talking about people perhaps not choosing the greatest material, I think that may be an issue here. But I hope it turns around and I want to be wrong, because as much shit as I give you about Anna Kendrick... And you're welcome. I like her a lot. I think she's super talented. And I think it's hard to find somebody with that range of skills. And it's impossible to me that she has not really been in anything close to the depth of Up in the Air since.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And by the way, Simple Favor, I think, is a really good movie.
Yeah. It's a Lionsgate film. That's fine. I enjoy it.
And like, she's still popular. She still has appeal. I think there's a lot of people out there for her, so I'd have to think she's getting offers on projects. But it's just,
I unfortunately think she is experiencing a market correction called Kristen Milioti at the moment. And I think that's where those roles are going to go. And I think Anna could fucking knock those roles out of the park. Could have been great in Palm Springs. Nothing against Kristen Milioti, who I think is great and deserves everything she gets and all the accolades. But there's just something about Anna Kendrick. And I saw it in Camp, the first film I ever saw her in. She was very young, about a bunch of theater kids that go to camp, where she had this maturity with how she could deliver lines that wasn't like a fakeness. It was like genuinely there. Like, I believed her, and I believed her in Up in the Air. I believed her in Pitch Perfect and Mike and Dave. And then there's these other movies that she makes, like Mr. Right with Sam Rockwell. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? What is going on?
It's hard to watch that one.
She was in that Christmas movie that I don't remember the name of. That was awful.
Also very difficult to watch. And the hard part is, I'm wondering if she's one of those actors, and I'm actually okay with this. This isn't a neg on her at all. You have some performers that are like, I get up for good material, and I cast checks for bad material. And trust me, I wish I was getting offered to cast checks. Like, that would be great. I'd probably do the same thing. But I see that a little bit in her performances. And I hope I'm wrong. I probably am, because, again, it's really hard to call it for somebody that young and that talented. But that's where we are. That's where I am, you know, kind of with her. And I hope this new TV series turns it around and we're good. But,
well, less Capital One commercials or whatever she's fucking doing. less of those. I don't know.
Well, do you have anybody else?
No. I may have a few more, but nothing really big on bus.
All right. Well, hey, let's move on to our next section, which is going to be people we love and are not selling our stock. Okay. I think they've really got it. They feel low now, but trust us, for no reason at all. We've given you no reason to do that, but trust us. I think they're coming back. I'm going to go through these a little faster because it doesn't make me as sad to talk about them because I'm still very optimistic about them. So John Cho is my number one on here. And these are in no particular order, but I love John Cho. I think he's picking really interesting stuff. Obviously, I saw him first with Harold and Kumar. I think that's where most people got familiar with him. He was in an incredible movie a few years ago called Searching.
Mm-hmm.
Check that movie out. That is so good. It's going to hit you as a technological sort of what the fuck, because it's using modern technology at the time. But the story is great, and he's fantastic in it. And he has just come out with Cowboy Bebop, which I think is doing quite well for Netflix. So I think John Cho is a very interesting character, and I'm very pumped about where his career could go, because he's hilarious in sitcoms. He'll do little 2-episode arcs and like a How I Met Your Mother, and it's ridiculous how funny he is. He just has charisma for days, and I'm excited about where he's going still, even though it's been a minute and hasn't taken off.
Have you seen Better Luck Tomorrow? Justin Lin's, I think, first feature, which he was in.
I have not.
Yeah, good movie. Takes place in Orange County, too.
Oh, well, then I'm in.
Yeah, it's obviously. A lot of young Asian stars of today got in that movie. And okay. So it's nice to see that. He was great in that. He's great in everything. He's just good.
He's just good. Yeah, he's just good all the time. I'm going to do a couple quick ones before we get it back to you. Rosario Dawson, saw her in He Got Game. I will never sell Rosario Dawson stock. She was incredible in He Got Game. She's had a very long career, very successful career. She's obviously got her own show now on Disney Plus with the Mandalorian spinoff, I believe.
Yeah, Ahsoka Tona.
Yeah. And so she's worked consistently for 25 years. This is not like, oh my God, what do you mean? This is what we were talking about earlier, where you're going to say, that's a super famous person. I think she's got Academy Award level potential. I think she has those type of roles in her. I'd like to see her in, like, given that kind of room to stretch. I feel the same way with Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Uh-huh.
I love Chiwetel. And this dude is Academy Award nominated.
Yeah.
Right? I get that. I think he should be in a prestige project every year.
Yes.
Like, he and Mahershala Ali and like Daniel Day-Lewis and like these types of people should be in prestige projects every year. I get DDO retired, but like that's the level, you know, the Joaquin Phoenix level, the Javier Bardem level. Like that's where I have him as far as talent is concerned. I saw him in Love Actually and he says like 3 words and I was like, every time he's on screen, I can't stop looking at him. What's going on?
And he's opposite Keira Knightley, so that's saying something.
He's opposite Keira Knightley, but like he's so good in like Serenity. He plays basically a computer in Serenity.
Yeah.
And he's so good in that. Inside Man, Children of Men, 12 Years a Slave, American Gangster. He's great. Is Huey, like, ugh, she would tell.
Dr. Strange.
Right there with the, Dr. Strange, right there with the Pena. Michael Pena, pod favorite. He's the same way. Like, he's, like, again, these guys are having great careers. I just watch Michael Pena in something like an Eastbound and Down, but then also watch Cesar Chavez.
Yeah.
And you're just like, holy shit. It's all there. It's absolutely all there. He's so natural with comedy. He's so great with drama. Really great stuff. I want to save the Taylor Kitsch conversation for a little
obviously
later.
Obviously, I've got him on my list as well in this category.
Yeah. I'll never sell that. I can figure it out, but I'm not selling it. The next two I want to talk about, and then I'm going to throw it to you, are two people from the same movie. Actually, I'm going to do three people from the same movie. Inglourious Basterds was quite the hunting ground for people I bought stock in that have not quite got to where I want them to go. One is Michael Fassbender.
Yeah, that hurts. That just hurts.
And he exploded off the screen, and then he was like, oh, I'll be in Shame. I'll be in 12 Years a Slave. I'll be in Steve Jobs, which is a ridiculously good movie that no one talks about. Him and Seth Rogen are incredible in that. Kate Winslet, incredible in that. It's just phenomenal. And then started not being able to pick projects and wanted to be a race car driver. And he spent a lot of time trying to be a race car driver.
Well, and married to Elisa Viglander. Okay, so that takes time, and I can't fault him for
yes.
that.
Yes. And then we have Melanie Laurent and Daniel Brühl.
Yeah.
Now, Melanie Laurent has been in really good stuff. She spends a lot, you know, is in France, directs movies in France, is doing her thing. And I don't think it's an obsession of hers to become, like, famous in Hollywood. There's a very Sophie Marceau quality to her where somebody you see in an American movie and you're like, why aren't they in more stuff? And they're like, we're kind of doing our thing. This is Tamlin Tamita from Karate Kid 2. You're like, well, I'm doing my thing in my home country and I'm extraordinarily famous. So get off.
But everyone wants to be in Hollywood. Make these fucking movies for us. Come on.
You know, and then, you know, Daniel Brühl is perfect in Inglourious Basterds, incredible in Rush, and he's doing stuff. Like, don't get me wrong. He's absolutely doing stuff. But before I go through the rest of them, who you got?
Okay, so obviously I have Anna Kendrick. We already touched on her. I'm never going to sell that stock, keeping that forever.
I know.
Chloe Grace Moretz, 500 Days of Summer, Kick-Ass, Let Me In, The Equalizer, Greta. So talented. Horrible choice in films. Always wants to play supporting for some reason. I don't know why. So talented. I think it'll happen one day. I'm not selling that stock.
Awesome in The Equalizer.
Yeah.
And, but you're talking about bad choices. Not that I'm making a plug for another pod that one of us is on, but Dark Places. She's not great in that.
I don't.
not a good movie.
Know about other pods or. Objection relevance, objection leading, objection hearsay. That's all I have to say. Derek Luke, I'm not selling that stock. Can't do it.
I'm glad. I'm with you. I understand. I did sell it, but man, that's.
I want to point out good. Spartan. From David Mamet with Val Kilmer and Kristen Bell. He's amazing in that. He's amazing in everything he's in. Seeking a Friend for the End of the World, though, he has one scene. Nobody talks about this movie. This is one of the most delightful movies you will ever see with an ending where you're like, why am I happy? Why am I happy? And this is such an amazing trick to pull.
I thought the same thing. When I finished it, I'm like, good for them.
Yeah, I'm happy. Like, what the fuck? Couple more. Vanessa Shaw, Ladybugs, Eyes Wide Shut, Two Lovers, beautiful, talented. No, I will never sell the stock. No business she isn't a bigger star. There's no reason.
I think there was this thing in the 90s, early 2000s where everyone was trying to shove Vanessa Shaw, Ali Larter, and Amy Smart in the same box, and all three of them fell to the wayside. Because I think all three of them could be on this list.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw Ali Larter in an episode, I was doing a rewatch of The League just in the background. And I was just like, she's so good. Like, what are we doing here? Like, how is she doing a guest spot on The League? What the hell is happening?
A couple more for me. James Marsden, never going to sell that stock. He's too funny. He's too funny.
Well, you and my wife are there. Like, James Marsden should be in every musical that they've been trying to make in the last 6 years. And he is also funny. He's also good. He's obviously got Westworld going on. But it's like, okay, stop trying to put James Corden in all these musicals.
No shit.
and put James Marsden in them. What are we doing?
I'm not selling the Clark Duke stock. I'm holding on to that. I really think it's going to come back.
I hope that pays off for you.
And my last one, which I don't know that you're going to agree with this, Guy Pearce. Not going to sell that stock. I expect so much more from Guy Pearce. Like, Jesus Christ, you're such a good actor, but you want to take these little bit parts here and there and things. But you're always fucking good, man. You're always good. Like, the last, like, real lead role that I remember was The Time Machine that he was in, like, years and years ago. And that movie was not good. He was good in it. Movie was not good.
Oh, it was terrible.
I'm not going to sell that stock, though. I think there's an old man Guy Pearce role out there that's going to get that Oscar one day.
What I think needs to happen is he's a tremendous villain, and he's going to step into like a Willem Dafoe villain type role and blow people away and remind people that he exists.
Well, he was very good in Iron Man 3. His character was unfortunately the villain, but not written very well.
I'm waiting for like a John Wick type villain, like just a really dirty, skeezy, not low budget, but just one of those type of movies. I mean, they're going to make like two more nobodies, I'm sure. Like, put him in one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I like Guy Pearce. I've got just a couple more here. Lee Pace for me. Pushing Up Daisies is an incredible show.
Halt and Catch Fire.
Halt and Catch Fire is great. I got to see him on stage, on Broadway, in A Normal Heart. Yeah, he good. Like, that's all there is to it. Like,
is he the one that threw his milk on you, or was that someone
he
else?
He did not. No, it wasn't him that threw the milk on me. But I was close enough to be in a splash zone.
Yeah.
In that show.
Nice flex.
Hey, student ticket prices, man. It's $10. Naomi Harris is huge for me. I saw her in Miami Vice first. Then she was in Ninja Assassin. She's been a great Money Penny. Mm-hmm. Incredible in Moonlight.
Yep.
And she's somebody I think about all the time. I'm like, why does everybody who has her waste her? Except Barry Jenkins. He knew what to do. Stop wasting Naomi Harris.
Yeah.
Which goes to my next, I'll never, ever, like, I will be buried with this stock, Sanaa Lathan.
Oh,
same
yeah.
thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Love and Basketball, Brown Sugar, incredible. And then it's just like, we didn't want to make her a star?
It doesn't like, make sense.
Why? Too good?
Yeah.
Too dramatically talented? Too comedic? The focus finds her wherever she is on the screen. Just the camera, like, swivels to her. Too pretty? I don't know what the problem is. Like, what? Jeez. And then the last couple I have are Jason Sudeikis, who this is, people are going to be like, but Ted Lasso. I get it.
Have you heard of that show, Cole? Evidently,
that just happened. That just happened, okay? And I think he's, like, we've been talking about comps a little bit. He's the next Bateman. Like, he
Poor
can fill
Bateman,
that role.
Man. He's just going to have to go behind right? that camera forever.
Somebody having a comeback year, and we were talking about him right before we got on, but Andrew Garfield. I've had a ton of stock in Andrew Garfield since Social Network. Yep. And go see Tick, Tick, Boom. Or, you know, go to Netflix and see Tick, Tick, Boom. He's might get nominated for an Oscar this year. If he does, he deserves it. If he doesn't, it's a pretty stacked field. But he's great in it. He's super talented. I'm not a Spider-Man person, so I'm not going to get into the, did you see the Spider-Man movies? I thought those were terrible. I don't care. He's great. And then I've got Corey Hawkins, and I've got Alden Ehrenreich, which we already talked about. Not selling my Alden Ehrenreich stock.
Okay.
I think he's too good in Hail Caesar. Somebody's going to make something out of that guy. Somebody's going to do it. And
I hope so.
I do too. But here's where it gets really fun. Now that you guys have been bored for 53 minutes, okay, here's where it gets fun. We're going to do our futures draft. And what we've decided to do is we're each going to pick five. We're going to alternate. So Jed picks one. Obviously, I can't pick them. This is going to be a true draft. We're going to snake it with two people, which means Jed goes, I go twice, then Jed goes twice, so on and so forth until we fill the bar. Okay. Then we are going to try and put all of these on Hollywood Stock Exchange. And we will tweet out all the information where you guys can go find us and kind of follow who's right and who's Jed. And you figure all of that out. I also can't say this enough. I will remind you at the end of the episode. I want you guys to hit us with your busts. And whose stock you're never going to sell. And who you would pick in the futures draft. I don't care if it's the same people we're picking. I really couldn't. I'm so interested.
I want to know who had Beau Bridges all those years ago. And it's like, I'm not selling.
Somebody's out there with Dermot Mulroney stock, and they're like, never. Never. They're going to do another My Best Friend's Wedding. So as we start out here, since I've been, you know, since I guess I led off the pod, I'm going to give you the first draft pick because you haven't been feeling well.
Oh,
and
yeah, thank you.
And this is going to come out after your birthday, but like it's just before your birthday. So in lieu of buying you anything,
first pick.
I'm
going to
give you the first pick in this really important draft.
Okay. You ready for it?
I'm ready for it. Oh, and let's define real quick. Futures are going to be somebody. It doesn't really matter their age, but they can't really have been in like 25 things.
Yeah.
This is somebody that's kind of been coming up the last few years. That's what this means.
With the first pick in the 2021 Futures draft, Jed selects Jonathan Majors.
I knew you were going to do that.
My boy, Johnny Majors from The Last Black Man in San Francisco, The Harder They Fall. Now he's in the MCU. His performance in The Last Black Man in San Francisco, I left the theater after I picked up my jaw, and I was like, who the fuck was that? What did I just see? Because, oh my God.
Dude, you called me.
Yeah.
You called me, and you were you got to see this movie. Like, get the movie.
Insane.
And when I saw it, I said, yeah. Yeah, he's real good. Great in Defy Bloods. How good is he in The Harder They Fall?
Yeah. Oh, my God. And going up against some top-tier talent.
Yeah, that's another one. Everybody, The Harder They Fall is just fucking good.
Really good.
Just a good movie. I like it a
lot. I love Regina King.
Yeah, yeah. She's. You'll notice she didn't make any of these lists because that was stock that I bought back with Jerry Maguire. And that stock has continued to go up. And I'm just going to keep sitting on those returns. I'm good with that.
Dividends.
Yes, I like that.
All right,
that.
Who do you got for your snake draft? Who you got your three
all
or
right,
two?
All right. So I think I'm going to take, with my first pick, Anya Taylor-Joy.
Got it.
I think, you know, her last 3 years between Emma, Queen's Gambit, Last Night in Soho, I think she's going places.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
I think she's got it going. I do have, before I make my next pick... You have to make a call here. This is up to you.
Okay.
I leave this up to the group. Unfortunately, the group is somebody I'm competing against right now.
I'm very fair and impartial.
So my next pick was going to be Daniel Kaluuya. But the problem with that is the dude just won an Oscar.
He sleeps with an Oscar, Cole.
Yeah. And so I don't know. Because I wonder if he didn't win the Oscar for Judas and the Black Messiah. Would we be bothered by the pick?
I'm going to go ahead and allow this pick, even though we know from that Oscar that stock's just going to continue going up. Now, you're buying fairly high right now. I just want you to know it's not going to be cheap.
Yeah, my problem is it's less about the Oscar, although I think that's a big play. And I'm just going to tell you, in my interest of being fair, my thought process was he's been in quite a few things.
Yes, he has.
And it's been a minute. And like, just because I just saw him doesn't mean he's new. So I understand if you're like... Nah, man, it's a little too...
Nah, it works for me. It's an okay pick with me. I'll allow it.
Just for the Oscar speech alone.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Mom. Thanks for having sex with Dad. Love it.
So now I get two picks, right?
You get two picks.
Okay. Thomasin McKenzie from Leave No Trace, Last Night in Soho, Old. This woman's amazing, and she's going to continue to be amazing and just keep putting on great performances. Yeah. Caitlin Dever.
All right.
So good in Dopesick, Booksmart, just everything she's in. This woman's phenomenal.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. You put me in a tough spot. I'm going to take Lakeith Stanfield.
Uh-huh.
Because you stole Thomasin McKenzie from me.
Uh-huh.
Lakeith, obviously, first time I saw him was Atlanta. Immediately looked him up and saw Short Term 12, which just has everybody in it.
Everyone.
It's, you want to know the people we're talking about now probably were in Short Term 12. Sorry to Bother You is a fucked up movie, but good Lord, is it good. Like, I'm sure they wish now Armie Hammer wasn't in it, but Ew, boy, is Lakeith Stanfield good at that.
Does he really chew up the scenery? Is that what he does?
Oh, look at you. Look at you. Wordplay with my man, Jed. And then you already mentioned this woman, but I think she's going to really do the thing. And it's Kristen Bellotti.
Got it. Yeah, I figured that was going to be one of them. That's a good pick.
And, you know, I sort of clocked her from Wolf of Wall Street. And I can't say that I immediately looked her up, but I definitely saw her in How I Met Your Mother. And I was like, oh, who's this person they're bringing in? And I was like, oh, okay, we'll watch her. She's got pretty like solid pedigree. She did some great stuff on Broadway. And then when you see Palm Springs, you're like, a star. She's a star.
Her Black Mirror episode was amazing too.
Yeah, end of fucking story.
Yeah.
All right, man, you got your last two picks.
All right, where do we come down on Jesse Plemons?
Nope, absolutely not.
All right, I thought I could sneak it in.
Are you fucking kidding me? Like, come on.
All right.
He's only been in 12 like awarded films in a row.
Okay, so my last two. This is tough. I'm not gonna lie. This is tough.
Where are we on Jesse Plemons? I should steal a pick from you for that.
I had to see if you're paying attention.
From the guy who said, I want Daniel Kaluuya.
All right. For my fourth pick, I'm going Brian Tyree Henry.
All right.
From Atlanta, Eternals, Widows, White Boy Rick.
I don't think I should let you take anybody from Widows because you've talked too much shit on it, but go ahead.
Well, he's good in it.
He's very good in it.
The actors are good in it. The problem is the fucking script and the directing.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Shots fired, Steve McQueen.
Well, he listens.
He cares.
He's one of our 7 downloads a week.
Yeah. And now I'm going real bold here. Mm-hmm. It's a risky one. And there's other actors that are having better careers at the moment. But I'm going to go Jacob Tremblay as my last pick. And I really think this kid has got something and is going to continue to just get better and better. But it's so tough when you pick that young.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Wow. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. Well, that surprised you a little bit. Ooh. All right. Who's the last pick here? Someone from Cobra Kai. Tell me it's someone from Cobra Kai.
Well, I did see He's All That. So, see, you put me in a bad place because fortunately/unfortunately, you did not pick a couple people I thought you were going to pick. So I didn't think I was going to be put in a position to choose.
Yep.
But as is tradition, you fucked me. I am going to choose Winston Duke.
That's a great pick.
For the sake of the record, before we go into kind of who clearly was honorable mention, Jed has picked Jonathan Majors, Thomasin McKenzie, Caitlin Dever, Brian Tyree Henry, and Jacob Tremblay. Did I get that right?
That is correct. Cole has picked Anya Taylor-Joy, Daniel Kaluuya, Lakeith Stanfield, Kristen Bellotti, and Winston Duke.
I'm feeling good about those picks. I'm not going to lie.
I like those picks, too.
I feel like we did some good stuff here.
Good competition.
I mean, I did, for sure. And then I do want to let you guys know the rest of my list, honorable mentions. I had Anthony Ramos.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I had Zazie Beetz.
Yep.
I had Manny Jacinto. I had Ana de Armas.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And I had Glenn Powell. Those were my sort of 5 honorable mentions. And the last pick, it was between Winston Duke, Ana de Armas, and Anthony Ramos. It was really hard to pick out of those.
The ones that I had were Carly Chaykin from Mr. Robot, who I think is just going to be, she's going to be something. As long as she can get out of the typecasting. The next role that she picks is going to be very, very important and very tough because she's so defined by the role of Mr. Robot. RJ Seiler.
Surprised you didn't try to sneak Christian Slater in there from Mr. Robot.
Rami Malek, maybe. He might be. He's only been in a few films. RJ Seiler, so good. Me and Earl, the Dying Girl, I'm Dying Up Here. Vice Principals, How Do They Fall? I mean, he's just, watch him.
Big Bad Mama Jahamba is his cousin.
Anjali Rice.
Yes.
She's got something. And I'm not joking. You're going to laugh at this. I know you're going to laugh at this. Zolo Maraduena from Cobra Kai.
Mm-hmm.
I really think this kid has something. None of the other cast does. None of the other child actors.
Ooh, not real sure it was necessary to just take a gigantic shit all over everybody else.
None of the other kid actors. All right. this guy though, I like him. I like him. And Sarah Snook, who I know she's on Succession. She was in Steve Jobs, Predestinations, where I saw her. That woman's amazing. That woman is amazing. But I'm happy with my picks. My Tremblay, that's a risky one, but everyone that works with him loves him and talks about how great he is, and he's great in everything I've seen him in. You know what? For the future here.
Hey, that's what this draft's about. And by the way, you're just going to save a little dough. I think that's on a cheap that, stock Hollywood right stock now. Exchange. Yeah. Mine or not, I think I overspent here. But we'll see. Guys, this was a blast for us. I'm sorry if it was boring for you, but like we've been talking about this for quite a while. I can't stress enough. Hit us up on Twitter, and we'll throw this out on Twitter too to beg you to send us your stock watch people. We want to know your busts. We want to know who you'll never sell. And we want to know who your futures are. And I'm very excited because there's just too many to pick from. There's so many people out there. And this is something, like I said, we mean no disrespect in anything we've talked about, but I'm very excited to see where this stock watch goes. We're going to do the Hollywood Stock Exchange accounts. We will put those out on Twitter too, so you guys can follow us if you'd like. And we got to do recommendations before we get out of here, though. I'm going to do a couple quick. I would like you guys to check out Short Term 12. I think we've wrecked it before. But that's where I first saw Lakeith Stanfield. But you're going to see, like, everybody, you're going to go, how did they afford this? Because none of them were famous yet. that's how. I definitely want you guys, for Garrett Hedlund, and I feel bad we named the show after him. Yes, he's great in Friday Night Lights, okay? Check him out in Country Strong.
The Gwyneth Paltrow Country Strong. Movie. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It's a sneaky, decent movie. Like, it's a good movie. And he is very, very good in it. And there's a lot of leading man-esque quality there, which is why even then I'm like, yeah. And then Tron happened, and, you know, it's the Taylor Kitsch John Carter problem. It's the Taylor Kitsch, you know, I've got to pay the bill for a gigantic movie that didn't make any money.
Not my fault either.
No, not even a little bit. And then I think I want everybody to go out there and watch Sex Drive. Absolutely. With Clark Duke, and just watch how easily funny he is. I just
effortless.
It, every time I see it, and it's fantastic. So those would be my recs. What do you got?
Okay, so I want to real quickly talk about a couple directors here. The stock has dived, and I still think they got a lot of talent. DJ Caruso, who did Disturbia and Eagle Eye, watch Disturbia. I know it's a Rear Window ripoff. Shia LaBeouf, great in it. Everyone's just great in it. It's a very fun, very fun watch. David Morse, always good.
Always good.
Airborne, if you haven't seen it, please watch it. Shane McDermott, he still might get some kind of money from it, I don't know, in selling real estate. It's a fun watch if you like rollerblading. And it's cool to see Jack Black and Seth Green. It's true. It's true. And the last one, obviously The Greeks with If Looks Could Kill. Have a lot of... It's going to take a lot to find the film, but if you can find it, enjoy the watch. It is very fun.
I feel bad. I think we forgot to mention, because we were running a little longer than we thought. We can't get out of this episode. We're talking about B-Pep.
Yeah.
Boy, Barry Pepper.
Yeah.
He's definitely, for me, on the bus side. Totally. I thought he was going to be huge.
Yep, me too.
He's had a good career. After seeing him in Saving Private Ryan, he's awesome in Enemy of the State. He's like menacing, but like not quite so menacing that you hate him and everything. You're just like, let's hang out with that dude. Like, the new Jack Reacher trailer just dropped, and I know that there was a big problem with Tom Cruise being Jack Reacher because physically he wasn't it, but it seemed like, I like Jack Reacher. It seems like he's got a good attitude for the part. This trailer has Alan Ritchson, who is very large.
He's big worked guy. Out since Thad Castle.
But rough.
Yeah. So far he does not nail the deliveries at all.
And I think for me that's more important. But B-Pep seems like somebody who could have had a movie like Jack Reacher. Like, he could have been that quiet action drama guy. And it just never happened. So I just was just looking at my notes. I'm like, holy shit, we forgot to talk about B-Pep. So, yeah, sorry. I hope it comes back. Huge fan. Huge fan.
Well, you guys can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at SigBurnsPod. You can email us at cigaretteburnspodcast@yahoo.com. What do they say, Cole? Like, smash that subscribe button and destroy that like button. Or don't. I don't really give a shit. You guys are listening. We really appreciate it, honestly. We love it.
Yeah, we love it. And if you could, if you leave us, rate us, review us on iTunes, it just helps people find us. Like, that's the big thing. And the more people find us, the more different people we get to talk to, and the more conversation that happens between you guys. And obviously, hit us up with movies you want us to talk about. Hit us up with things you want us to talk about, because obviously, we'll do random episodes just to shoot the shit. I do believe our next episode, though, as it is the holiday season, what better movie to do than The Holiday?
Two movies in one. I'm so excited. I cannot wait.
This movie's so good. So like good. Eli Wallach, dog. Eli Wallach. And I'm gonna tell you, I've done a 180 on one part of this movie, and I'm very excited to talk to you about it.
Oh, so you don't like Shannon Sossaman anymore? Is that what I'm...
I used to hate a part of this movie, and I've now decided that I love it. So I don't know if that's just age or what. But anyway, guys, it's been a blast. Thanks for listening again, and we will see you very, very soon.
Lady Birders.